It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, April 4th. I'm Patricia Naft. Recently, Montrose County Commissioners approved the purchase of a military-styled armored vehicle. The 8-ton truck comes with an equally heavy price tag. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Lenco Bearcat is covered in armored steel a half inch thick. It has bulletproof glass, gun ports, and can carry 10 people in the back. It also costs more than $250,000.
It is expensive, but by the same token, I for one can't put a value on a human life.
That's Montrose County Commissioner Glenn Davis. He and the other commissioners recently gave unanimous approval to purchase the vehicle at the request of the sheriff's office. Davis says there is a need for this. Three times in the past few years, the sheriff's office needed a Bearcat. Each time they borrowed one from neighboring Mesa County, and everything ended peacefully. Davis says that borrowing the explosive-resistant vehicle worked in the past, but he's worried some other community could be borrowing it when they need it. If that was the case, the police department for the city of Montrose also has an armored vehicle.
That machine they have, that's a whole different animal. It's possible to penetrate that machine with a .50 caliber. It will not go through walls and doors.
This kind of heavy equipment is troubling to John Krieger with the American Civil Liberty Union of Colorado.
When police get these new toys, they tend to want to use them.
He says the ACLU has looked at cases where police departments change. They start serving warrants in the middle of the night with night vision goggles. Normal policing becomes tactical.
Police, rather than looking like an agency built to protect and serve the community, they start to look like a military unit that's occupying the community.
Commissioner Davis doesn't agree. He says protecting officers' lives is paramount.
5 years ago, if I had told you that people felt they had the right to kill policemen at the rate they're killing them today, you'd have told me I was out of my head.
That perception might be skewed by the recent officer deaths in Mesa and Parker counties. Nationally, the number of officers murdered on duty has dropped steadily since the 1970s. According to NPR, 2013 was the safest year for law enforcement in recorded history. Still, Davis thinks the Bearcat will protect deputies. For example, he says, from mass murdering pot growers.
I get some crazy person out growing wild marijuana, and he decides he'll barricade himself in a rock house and start shooting. I don't know how many policemen you'd want to lose.
It's not just the armed and mentally ill that trouble Davis. He also says the custom-built Bearcat will help protect against a perceived religious threat.
I mean, Muslims have told us that we're infidels. And as early as Thomas Jefferson, and I'm sure you know that story, the Leathernecks and from the shores of Tripoli, that had to do with Muslims.
He's referencing a war 200 years ago that was about stopping pirates from attacking U.S. ships near North Africa.
And Jefferson had an answer for it. He said, go in and kill them. And for 150 years, they left the American people alone.
He's afraid suicide bombers are getting closer to Montrose County.
I think you can bury your head in the sand. It gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling at night when you go to bed. And says, oh, well, it can't happen here. Montrose, Colorado, how many people could they kill? I don't know. Suicide bomber walks into a theater or walks into a school. I don't know.
Davis says it's better to have the armored vehicle than not. If they ever needed it and didn't have it, he says the press and everyone else would blame law enforcement. Although the county commissioners approved the request for the vehicle, John Krieger with the ACLU recommends communities have a civilian oversight board that would decide on purchases like the Bearcat. It will be several months before the vehicle is built and shipped to the county sheriff's office. Repeated inquiries to Montrose County Sheriff Rick Dunlap went unanswered. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Colorado lawmakers are required to do one thing during their annual legislative session, pass a balanced budget. And after several days of discussion, members of the Democratic House did that on Thursday, with five Republicans joining them to back it. Benta Berkland has more on what's in and out of the so-called long bill as it heads to the Republican-controlled Senate.
The process of writing the annual budget is months in the making, beginning with a request from the governor in the fall. While there isn't much wiggle room, the outlook isn't as dire as lawmakers originally thought.
It looked like the task would be daunting. And I think we just ended up with a really interesting harmonic convergence of budget forecasts and certain events that occurred that allowed us to not have to face as many dramatic cuts as we thought we were going to have to face.
Democratic Representative Dave Young of Greeley is a member of the bipartisan Joint Budget Committee that wrote the budget bill. The group did make cuts, reducing a hospital provider fee payment and lowering a budget transfer to the Colorado Department of Transportation by $50 million.
There's an understanding that we're in a tight budget year. In fact, they're getting some money, $158 million of general fund money.
But many lawmakers want even more money for transportation, which is underfunded. Republicans offered several amendments during the debate. House Minority Leader Brian Del Grosso of Loveland sponsored a change that would have put nearly $65 million into roads if the state's revenue forecast improves.
This gives you the option to vote for up to $64.2 million and extra money for transportation if we have extra revenue.
That amendment didn't pass, and neither did 30 or so other amendments that were introduced by both parties. Many were nothing more than political statements. Republicans tried to eliminate money for a program that provides long-acting reversible contraceptives to young women. And Democratic Representative Joe Salazar of Thornton wanted to strip funding from the governor's mansion to use it to hire more oil and gas inspectors.
Namaste. Namaste. I'm not trying to pick a fight with the governor's office.
Salazar says he wants to get the governor's attention, adding that many in his district feel Governor John Hickenlooper is too pro-fracking, especially from his past comments about drinking fracking fluid.
My constituents are upset that every time we try to do something for my constituents related to protecting the environment, protecting their homes, that we have the governor's office undercutting what they're feeling. They feel minimized by his statements.
Most members of his own party, along with the GOP, did not support the change. Here's Republican Budget Committee member Bob Rankin of Carbondale.
We have the most stringent inspection standards of any state that we can determine. I don't think more inspectors are your answer.
Funding for public schools and colleges makes up the largest portion of the state's roughly $8.5 billion discretionary fund. And lawmakers avoided cuts to higher education and put nearly $300 million of general fund back into K-12 schools.
A lot of people are calling it a miracle budget. I think it's a good budget. I don't know about a miracle budget.
That's Democratic Representative and House Education Committee member Dominic Moreno of Commerce City.
We're still not keeping up with increasing enrollment in our public schools, how much it costs to educate a kid now. There's huge inequities within our current school finance between rural districts, urban districts. It's all over the map. Some schools only have about $7,000 per pupil. Others have over $15,000 per pupil.
One of the biggest debates between the two parties isn't actually in the budget. It's a separate related bill on whether the state should use an accounting measure to remove a fee that hospitals pay from counting towards state revenue under the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights. Removing that money would prevent Tabor refunds from going to voters in the coming years and keep more money in the state's coffers. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.